Welcome to Skip IntelliCast, a podcast about strategy, leadership, and intelligence. Join us today as we talk with Dustin Ray, Director of Competitive Intelligence at Datto, a leading global provider of security and cloud-based software solutions. Hey, Dustin, thanks so much for joining us today. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, Cam, thanks for inviting me to come on. I look forward to our discussion today.
Yeah, so you know, before we jump into the to the content around CI and all the cool work you're doing at Datto, just love to learn a little bit about your journey, how you came to Datto, how you came to competitive intelligence. Just maybe set the stage for us a little bit, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, most definitely. So the way that it's an interesting story. I came off of a military deployment, so I got a military background, and I started working in the aerospace and defense industry, working on satellites, out of all things, right?
Nice.
Anyways, I worked in that field for a bit, and then as the programs were moving around, I was asked to help out to do the annual strategy. And so I was sent to the group and said, okay, we want you to develop a strategy. And the first question I asked was like, oh, great, I love doing this. Where is our intelligence so that I can build a strategy? And they're like, "What? Well, why would you need that? Well, like any other good deed, right? What happens? Next thing you know, you're doing competitive market intelligence. I had a great mentor that really helped me through that and gave me the opportunity as we worked through the strategic plan and for doing competitive and market intelligence. So, yeah, it was one that I worked my way in there due to my background and. And then asking questions, and then worked with a person who was a real professional in the area. So,
great.
Yeah.
So you raised your hand, asked a question, then you got voluntold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So it was great.
As many good things in life happen that way, right?
It does, and I've enjoyed it. So it's been been thoroughly rewarding from a career standpoint.
Yeah, so aerospace, defense, satellite, and then Datto. So, for those of you who don't know, it's a super fast growth, really great cyber company.
Yeah.
But you joined, am I right, fairly recently, Dustin? So maybe, tell me about kind of how that's been, coming into a crazy high growth transformative industry.
Yeah, definitely. So I came over to Datto. I had the I was networked into it, had a chance to talk to a few of the people. I liked what they were doing. And Datto is and the culture really intrigued me, but also what they're doing. When I look at the mission of what they provide, really, really connects to my why as a person of what I like to do, of protecting people. And one of the main things is protecting information, right? Because that's really what our economy and everything, we're in the information age, right? That drives it. So it really attracted me to that. And they're going through, like I said, I started 6 months ago. And when I came on, there was a pretty big transition. So there was a great team in place, and there's some transition that's going over. They changed where it sits in the organization, and we're looking at how they wanted to basically redeploy the competitive intelligence function throughout the organization. And I was brought on to do that, and it's been it's been a whirlwind, and it's been moving very fast, and it's... And I've really enjoyed it, right? The impact we've been able to have in the short time we've been here has been pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you have dog years, right? One human year is 7 dog years. I feel like in the SaaS sector, 6 months is probably like 3 years at least for other industries. So they did have a CI function prior to you coming on board. So they, knew a little bit of what they were, what they were looking for.
Yeah, in the past where it sat in the organization, I really am. I was able to take and build off of the shoulders of giants that were in the role. But there was a change up in the organization dynamic, and at that point, they decided to look at it doing things differently and how they wanted the impact of competitive intelligence to broaden it out across the base and to have a broader impact. Right. So that's like I said, I was brought on to do that. I've had to build up the team and bring on the people to do that. But once again, I said, it was they had a pretty good start when I came in. There was a lot of things there that I've been able to leverage, but there's a lot of but we had to basically re-image the team and what it provided for the organization.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, there's no, you know, one way to do it, right? But I think the coming into a program that had, you know, had built that beachhead is nice, because I know that, you know, talking to some of the members here at Skip, it's when you're the very first person building the very first function, you know, man, you got to be careful. If you try to do too much too soon, it's, you know, you dilute your impact. So that's great that you were able to, Zeus, kind of, you know, build off the shoulders of giants. And so, you know, talk to me a little bit about some of the different areas of the business, Dustin, that CI is now supporting. As you mentioned, you're working to broaden the impact. And so yeah, maybe paint kind of the before and after picture, if you could.
Yeah, so early in 21, the team was in marketing, and it was focused around a lot of marketing efforts. And it was decided at that point, and the organization really is, it's a competitively focused organization. And anyway, so they said, we don't know if this is necessarily where we want the organization, where CI to sit. There's a different manner that had to go there. There was a champion, and that's my boss, Dan Knight, phenomenal. He actually runs pre-sales. And so it's not necessarily sales, but he runs the solution and sales engineering teams. And Monal Patel, his boss, does it globally. So anyway, they became the champions of it. They ended up inheriting the team that was in place. And then Dan's the one who brought me on to say, hey, we want to reimage and redeploy the intelligence team so that we can focus more on, you know, on the win process and how that connects throughout the organization, other than just supporting market capabilities.
Gotcha. So yeah, it was really kind of a change of the vision for the function, right? And as you did that, was it one of those you kept some of the responsibilities to support marketing, or were you able to really focus on, you know, competitive enablement and helping to drive win rates?
Yeah. So one is yes. So and that's one as we get as we go along in here. It's so yes. First of all, we came on, and the first thing we have to do, when we look at how we operate, is I look at the tactical level. So as we look at this and we look at who we're delivering to the sales team, we have to provide what they need so that they can win. And that is more than just saying, hey, here's information, read it and try to learn as much as you can. No, it's very tactical in nature, telling them what are the points to beat the competition, or where are the things if the potential partner is interested in certain things, where do we don't even try competing, you're gonna waste your time, right? And then also the point is teaching them how to collect intel, because that's half of it is learning is like, did you even ask who they currently have or they're considering and why? So a lot of that comes down to that tactical level. Are they collecting what they need? And that's the base, right? But it doesn't mean that we basically said, okay, marketing, good luck, hope you do well on your own, right? You know, no, that's not how it works. But as we look at that, is intelligence had to be towards the front end of the business, where you were a closer touch to the competition. And so as we look at that, we aligned our team along our product portfolio. So that's how the competitive intelligence team, but I also have the market intelligence side, which we align by region, right? And we're still building out a lot of that, right? So we're still building out a bunch of this, but we're essentially, we've got the framework in place, and we're working that way. And what that allows us to do is we can get the depth we need on intelligence by the portfolio, but we can also look at it by the different regions. And from there, as we build out the intelligence base and help us win, you know, think of the traditional battle cards and competitor deep dives, but it's also getting in the training of how do we competitively enable so that they know what to ask, they know how to seed the seed partners with items that will put us in an advantageous position competitively, right? But there's more, right? So as we look across that, and one reason where we sit is very interesting, because you know your solutions and sales engineers, they aren't necessarily the ones contacting people daily, but they're the ones who put together the deals, right, and size things and things like that. So they understand what it is. We've been able to leverage that. So now that has just magnified our capability. So as they go forward, they're taking what we have and they're working directly with sales. So how do you touch 600 salespeople? You can't, right? It's just not possible. So you have to leverage technology and other people. And so being a part of that organization, we have that ability to do that. But then from there is we're also, we can be the advocate, and that's the operational level. Supporting the sales, what can we do to work with product management and marketing so that we have the right campaigns and pricing in place, and that our roadmaps are laid out in a way that will make us more competitive. Does that make sense?
Makes a ton of sense. And there's a lot there, and I want to maybe take a moment to unpack some of it, Dustin, because there's a lot of good stuff. So you started off, you know, describing this, you know, tactical, strategic, and operational kind of way of tiering this. And around tactics, you said something I love. It was basically, you know, you can't just throw a bunch of information at salespeople because, you know, who cares, right? We all have too much time. So you mentioned that they're a really good source of intel. And so from, you know, I want to talk maybe from like a human or from a training perspective, any insights or lessons learned there on, you know, how can you help, you know, field or other sales really learn how to collect and feedback intelligence towards the CI team?
Yeah. So one thing that I look at this is you never give anything without asking for something. And anytime somebody gives you something, you always give them something in return. So it's got to be that give and take, or I call it the push-pull, right? So as we look at that, one of the things is in your battle cards, are we calling out? You should be calling out what they should be asking. And by doing that, and they ask those questions, they now have something to actually feed you. And as you do that, you then can create that conversation with the business and with the front end of the business. And now you have a way that you can deploy intelligence for effectiveness, but also telling them you need to, by collecting this, we can then take it and the business itself can start answering these competitive issues that arise in the landscape. So one thing is it's being very direct is we got to let them know what we want. And a lot of times if you put out ways that they should actually ask it, not just say, hey, here's what we want to know, but instead of saying, hey, ask this question of why they are, you know, why this competitor, why are they, what attracted you to that? So as you go through the discovery process and we work with the sales enablement team, it's like there's got to be a competitive enablement portion of the sales process and training. Two is put it directly. So as they look at battle cards, it tells them what questions to ask.
I love that because it's, you know, we'll talk about the tool element in a moment, but I think, you know, what I really like about what you're sharing, Dustin, is that, you know, there is a training human element where it's not just the sales process, but, you know, whether it's something formal like elicitation or other skills, you know, sales can be, you know, a goldmine if you do it right. And have you thought about or have you had any experience with the ethical aspect of this, right? You know, because, you know, oftentimes we have salespeople who are super enthusiastic and you know, by nature, they want to win every time. And you know, we as, you know, intelligence professionals, of course, need to let them know, not just, you know, from a corporate policy perspective, what's, you know, what's okay and what's not, but also from, you know, the aspects of elicitation. So have you provided them any guidance or training around ethical sourcing and things like that?
Yeah, so there's, and that's a very big piece of it, right? Because as we go through, it can't be, and that's one reason I like to describe what questions they should be asking, because we know that, okay, this is how you ask that, because once again, is you can't ever do something that is going to misrepresent who you are or what you're doing, right? To collect it ethically. And that is a part of the training as we go through and as we discuss with the different teams and work through the organization of this is the correct way in which to get it. Don't ever misrepresent who you are. Don't try to, don't be deceptive in the practices that you're employing to get it. It's a lot of times when you're selling, it's okay to ask, right? It's okay to say, hey, what's going on? You can do that. And this is what you should focus on. And that's why we direct them to the questions, because a lot of times it can be hard. They're under a lot of pressure, right? So if you just lay it out and make it simple, it really can be the questions like, hey, this is when you should be asking these questions.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Cause I mean, you know, it's, you know, Skip has a code of ethics and, you know, hopefully every, you know, organization out there has their own ethics policies. And I mean, let's be honest, a lot of ethics policies out there, they don't they're not prescriptive. They're sometimes in a lot of legal jargon. So I really like what you're saying, Dustin, about, you know, hey, here's the types of things you can ask, and, you know, from a compliance perspective, but also, you know, hey, here's one that's a good point in the sales process. So I like how you're arming them with that with that information. It's really empowering. Mm-hmm.
And it is like, so a lot of that comes down to, like I said, my background. I was I did information operations and field artillery, where if you just told me that there's enemies over the hill, that doesn't help me. You have to say, we need to put, this is the kind of enemy it is, this is what it is, and this is the type of things we need in order to interdict them, right? So as we look at that, that's what intelligence has to be. It has to be prescriptive. This is where they're at. Sure. This is what they're doing. This is what we need to do to stop them, right? And that's what intel has to be. And two is, it's got to be, and from an ethical standpoint, if you don't put that into your practices and you tell them how to be that way, you're not gonna get it. You'll never get what you don't. If you don't put out the expectations that it's done in a certain manner, it won't be right.
So shifting gears, 600 salespeople. So obviously, you know, you can't have one-on-ones with 600 salespeople. So let's maybe shift to talking about tools, because if you really want to, you know, enable the sales force at scale, you know, we gotta step into technology. So you know, what are some of the tools you've used and found helpful in moving the needle on win rates and just, you know, driving a better sales process?
Yeah, definitely. So I will say that there's a lot of great tools out there, right? And I think that that's one thing that is neat about even looking at Skip. We've been able to get to know a lot of these different companies. And we found that for our situation here at Datto, that we use Clue as our intelligence tool. And here's the thing is, in order to scale and actually support the business, because it's even more than just the sales team. So, I mean, we still support other parts of the business. It's from a sales slant, but we support product marketing and product management. We talked about the strategic level. Even, like I said, our CEO is involved in competitive intelligence, and he's very involved with competitive intelligence. But as we look at this, where does a tool make sense? So, and you need that one source of truth. Because one of the things, if you have to manage multiple sources of intel, like what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about sourcing it, but if where you're taking the information, you're collecting the information, you're processing it, and then putting it in a method and distributing it to the different end users who need the information, you can't do that in multiple places. It just doesn't work. You need that one source of truth. And so, and you need a tool that will do that, because what it'll do is you're able to then, as you collect the intel, and as we work across the different parts of the business that come across this intelligence, you're able to broaden it out and have a bigger impact over more people. So one of the things is, we are closely aligned, like I said, with the solutions and sales engineering. And one of the main things that we have is, they have a lot of things called impact plans. So, and a lot of that is supporting competitive intelligence. So they help us source and curate data with the, you know, because they work a lot closer with the sales teams. They can touch them on those things. They know what some of the competitive items we're running into and why we lose, because they're sizing these deals. So we're able to leverage that and put it into Clue, where it is now accessible, and it's curated in a way that it's battle cards for salespeople, deep dives for product management, and product and marketing, right? So, and then it leads to dashboards that can be used by senior leaders and decision makers, that they can go and access data, right, that they need. So as we look at it, without a tool and having that capability, instead what happens is, you end up just supporting a few major initiatives, and then it goes back to how it was 15, 20 years ago, where it was like, oh, it's three people in a back room somewhere that come out with information on some companies sometimes. Right. So,
every quarter, every 6 months, doesn't matter what happened externally. It's just, you know, they got their schedule, right?
Yeah. So that's one thing that it comes down to. You have to have a tool, but the way that we operate a lot of that is my competitive intelligence team is aligned by these products. So they're also in the workflow with marketing and product, but also with the SEs who put together what's called an SME group. That is a cross-functional group that we're a major participant in it, where we're able to review the content and add to it as needed. So if we didn't have that one single point of reference, it would be really, really hard for us to to actually take that and put it out there to the whole world, let alone update it. I mean, updating things are a lot easier, right? So, as I said, there's a lot of different tools that can do that. We found ClueWorks the best for us, right, at this time.
I appreciate that. And kind of, you know, there are a lot of tools out there, and I continue to be amazed at some of the crazy awesome stuff that they can do. And, you know, as I'm sure you'd agree, you know, the success of a lot of software initiatives often, you know, lives or dies on how you actually use the thing.
Yes.
It's less about, oh, it has this, you know, killer feature. Any lessons learned or things you're particularly proud of about, you know, how you implemented, you know, the Clue or, you know, whether it was, you know, hey, we spent extra time on the, you know, pre-deployment interviewing to make sure we understood needs, but any recommendations for folks thinking about, you know, finding that single source of truth platform for them?
Yeah. So one is, I think, my situation, I started the middle of November, a few weeks before they actually had signed the Datto, my boss had signed the contract with Clue. So I rolled into it and said, okay, your job, get this up and going and working. So from November 15th, essentially, and then on January 13th, we went live. I think sometimes
that's
we looked. Yes, we did. And here's the thing is, a lot of that is we have to understand what the business wants. So that was well understood. And that, like I said, my boss went through and we do a lot of different surveys, figured out what they want. Then, but you can't start off going like, we're going to put every competitor in there. So we started out with just a handful of our major competitors. And we put it in there, and then we take the feedback on it. You know, like anything else, there's those who love it. It's the, you know, the next best thing to slice bread. Then there's others that it's like, I can't believe you're even showing this to me, right? You just get that bandwidth, but you're able
there's
to.
Always the grump, right?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it is because everybody has different. There's people who are trying to bring on new customers. There's those working with current partners. There's those that are, they have different needs, right? But that's how we uncover them. Like I said, I love it when people bring up things. As long as they're saying that I just don't use the data, if the question is like, I want more of it and I would love to see it in a different format, I want to hear it all day, right? And two is you need a tool. That's where it comes down to a tool is make sure when you implement it that it's updatable, that you have a process that you can easily update it. But and two is what can you do to connect it into your other tools? Does it connect to your CRM? Does it connect to your internal chat function, right? Like I mentioned, our CEO is well involved. We have a chat. We actually have a chat on Slack, and it's like it's the second or third most used channel is a competitive chat, and it is. It's very active.
Wow.
It's like we have to monitor it actively, right? And we have it. We have everywhere from C-level participation down to, you know, a brand new salesperson last week. And so that culture has been set at Datto where it's okay to bring things up, question things, and have that conversation up and down the organization. So, but one thing is nice is you have to make sure that all of the things you have, can you pull that together? Because there's so much information. So it comes down to if you don't have a tool that helps you do that, manage that, it's going to be really hard to service 600 people in sales and another, you know, 700-800 people between product and marketing, right? So
I mean, I love that because, I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. I mean, you know, hopefully we're all in business because, you know, we want to deliver our customers a great experience in a way that's, you know, profitable for us and you know, for our various stakeholders. And, I mean, a lot of that does come down to, you know, how CI can enable that. And I really like what you're saying. It's that you need to, whatever the tool is, you really need to embed it, not just in, you know, the workflows, how people operate day to day, but just with the other systems you have. And so I got to ask, you know, so not looking for any inside baseball, but when your CEO is on this, you know, super popular Slack channel, is it just like, hey, thumbs up, good information? I mean, like, you know, because
it's actually
CEO's presence there. That's a big deal.
Yeah, he'll come in there. Like somebody will ask, it's either about a competitor that maybe we haven't covered yet, or maybe it's a higher level question that maybe that hasn't been necessarily addressed in our curated content, right? So as those questions come up, because, you know, like you're saying, in 6 months, we are consistently adding competitors, but you're not going to get all of them.
Sure.
It's going to take a while, right? And then you have to maintain them. So, and a lot of times there'll be different things that are going on in the marketplace. Hey, so-and-so competitor's doing this. He just doesn't jump in and give people thumbs up. He actually engages in it and says, hey, you know, let's focus on this, what Datto does well here, and also talking to them, this may be an issue here that you can bring up. So it's actually giving actual content. because he's involved in circles that a lot of us don't have access to. Yeah, and he's able, sure. I don't want to close off people talking to him thinking that he's turning everything over to us, but it's one of those things that he'll bring up certain points on competitors that we can then leverage. So he's participating as though he was just another salesperson who has intelligence to share with the business.
Yeah. So I love that. It's interesting, for super CI geeks, this comment I'm about to make will hopefully not irk them too much. But I mean, there is a nuance here between, just information or intelligence, hey, I heard this, versus someone like a CEO. I mean, yeah, they can provide that, but it's also perspective, right? Because as you mm-hmm. say, they might be on, partner advisory councils with CEOs from your top 20 partners. And mm-hmm. and that's just a different viewpoint than, you're going to get anywhere else in your organization. So it's less like that one specific piece of information that you could maybe, not find on Google, but, that perspective that they can triangulate in a way that maybe other employees can't, that could be very valuable.
Exactly. And I said, and there's other senior leaders who do the same, right? So, because they're, sure. like I said, they're in circles that we don't necessarily have access to. And, not everything's Googleable. Like I said, as a CI professional, we're not professional Googlers, right? We are, our job is, and a lot of it's changing, right? I'm going to say 15 years ago, we were mostly research. Now we are, mm-hmm. now it's more than that. It's actually more like a news reporter. We're out beating the bush to find where the intelligence is, and also setting up avenues that things can come to us so that we can, one, validate it, right? Make sure that it's right, it's correct, it's ethical, right? And then we have to put it in a format that's consumable. So when we really look at it, that's how we see it changing. And I don't care where you lie in the business. I've had CI in strategy, I've had CI in BD, I've had CI in marketing, I've had it in sales, and now in pre-sales, right? And even once upon a time in product, right, in product management, right? So it doesn't matter. I think that's...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting, though, Cam, is I think a lot of times, and I see this at, like in telecom, a lot of professionals that I have discussions with is they lament that they could provide so much more. And I'm like, interesting, and you'll hear, and you've probably heard this too, right, where people say, oh, the company just doesn't get it. My boss doesn't get it. And it comes down to psychology and how businesses are designed, right? So as we look at it is, you have a leader, your boss is a leader of a functional area, whether that's sales, marketing, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and they have KPIs that they have to fulfill, and they're given resources to do that. If we do not tie what we do into those KPIs, if in any other situation would you say, yeah, I'm going to take money away from me accomplishing my goals because it's a good idea to help John over in operations, right? You're toast. But now my thing is, so I think as a CI professional, we have to build what we want to do into the KPIs of our boss. And a lot of times it's already there. We just have to say, we have to raise the flag and say, we're doing this. And that's how it works. And everything has to tie in. You can't be everything to everybody. You have to know that you can't do everything, but make sure you're tied into your functional area or you're not going to get resourced and you're not going to get the support you need. So,
And I love that. And the analogy I often think of, Dustin, is like we need to internally almost think like account-based marketers, right, where our stakeholders are different key accounts. And, sales is going to have, different motivators than pre-sales or marketing or product management, et cetera. You get the analogy. You want to obviously make sure that the KPIs that our supervisors are managed by are aligned to what's best for the business. But ultimately, if they're funding us, we got to make sure that they're successful, because that's the way that CI is going to have the biggest impact on the business in a sustainable way. And that's, hopefully while we all here is sustainable. One last question before we let you get back to doing all this awesome work, which has been so exciting to talk to you about, is that, despite, amazing tools that can, help us do all this cool stuff at scale, which, could be a whole nother, couple hour conversation on, I'm sure you're not immune to these fire drill requests where, you open the door kind of, hey, there's a new competitor, we don't have anything on it. So just from a leadership perspective, Dustin, how do you kind of manage that tension from you got the smooth CI system, chugging along, got tight processes, how do you manage that when you get the fire drill requests? So not getting bogged down with those, because as we know that can derail higher value work. So how do you handle some of those organizational requests and the tension that can come out of them?
Yeah, so a lot of that is, I'm going to say a good, 70-80% of the time, you kind of know what those fire drills are going to be. Either a competitor started a campaign, an emergence of a different competitor, some things like, so a lot of that is, you have to prepare a process for handling that in a template. It can't be so rigid, because I will say every time that usually that template and process only answers 60% of the fire drill. But the thing is if you don't have it, that's 60% more of the work you have to do. So, and that's why it's so important, is have those in place. Don't make them so rigid you can't adjust from it. But then it comes down to your network. We're intelligence professionals, and it's all about developing our network. So as we see different emerging, these fire drills, whether it's a new competitor or a new campaign, who do we know knows the most about maybe the area where the competitor's at, or maybe even knows them? If you leverage your tools correctly, Salesforce with their opportunities should state, and a lot of that many times will say who it is, who's emerging. So you can kind of get that look into the future, right? There's a lot of great research companies out there that, that we've met that will say, hey, here's some emerging companies coming up. So you should have an idea. Generally speaking, they're not coming out of the woodwork and nobody's ever seen them before, right? If it's that way, then we're not doing our job. To be honest with you. So, and so when it comes to those fire drills, and a lot of times you never know. A lot of them comes from senior leadership. Who knows what they're looking at, right? But if you understand what kind of asks are coming out there, you put together a high-level process and template, you can cut out, like I said, 60% of the effort of those fire drills, so you're not getting derailed. And it comes down to, like, I'm pushing constantly in the way we're organized. I want my market intelligence people who are looking at that inside those market management groups so they can see what's going on with the different functional areas. Get in their workflows. My competitive intelligence analysts and managers, are they in with product? Are they in the product management workflows? Are they in the marketing workflows? Are they in the sales workflows? So a lot of it is we can see farther out in front of us. And so that's a lot of it is, can we raise our eyes? Can we raise our view so we can see farther out there? And have a good, what we call Intel flash process. Sometimes things happen and you have to understand when this happens, everybody does X, Y, and Z, and we hurry up and get it out to the business as soon as possible. Whether it's like there was a major acquisition or there was a major breach somewhere, we need to jump on that, or there's, or somebody's attacking us in a certain way. Have that in place so that you can, it's not going to just stop you in your tracks or you're not progressing. So it comes down to, hey, look, we're leaders, right? If you're leading an intelligence function, our job is to manage resources and processes and lead people. And that's what we have to do. Then we have our analysts and we put them in the best position to succeed. And we do that by making sure that they're prepared for these things.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. And it's really an empowering message, right? That, nothing against researchers, I'm married to one, but, ultimately, CI needs to be more than that, because companies need more than, just information creators. It's I really like what you're saying about we're leaders, and it's our job to manage these processes, these workflows, and our resources. Any parting advice for those who've gotten all fired up and inspired from this, and they think, okay, Dustin, so you've given me lots of good advice about, the single source of truth, about how you work with sales to make sure that they're actually using our good content, using Slack and other good tools. Any parting advice for our listeners, Dustin, before we let you go?
Yeah, I think one of the major things is, if you're in this role, set your ego aside. Because here's the thing.
I like that.
If you have a product launch that fails, it's because we didn't understand the competitive landscape, which would tell us what our buyer personas are. That's our fault. Take it. Say, it is ours. We didn't understand it. Own it. But also understand when it's successful, that means we did understand it, but we don't go and say, hey, we did that. That's going to be because, hey, the sales team and the marketing team knocked it out of the ballpark and they got the product to the right one. So you have to set your ego aside. A lot of times we are the, like I said, everybody sees the rocket, right, that's launching into space. But nobody understands that it's that fuel in the tank that is putting it into space. We're that fuel. And manage yourself efficiently, because if you run out of energy and there's no more of you, that rocket falls to the earth. So understand that and set your ego aside and don't run faster than you're able. And because nothing ever moves as fast as I want. And I think everybody's that way. But the thing is you got to be patient and bring the organization along with you. You're enabling the organization. You're competitively enabling the organization. You're not a reporter. You're not, and that is, you're not a research analyst that just puts out a 50-page document that says, read this, it's awesome. So.
Right. Dustin Ray, CI is rocket fuel. I love that. I am absolutely going to use that again. Thank you so much for talking with me and for sharing this with the Skip audience, Dustin. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's great. Hey, thank you so much. And I appreciate your time and inviting me to participate, Cam. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.